with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And this is Independence Day weekend. And so we want to wish you a happy 4th of July. Pray that you get to safely celebrate out there. Don't do anything stupid with fireworks. And yes, I did say the word stupid. Don't do anything that would endanger your life or your digits or your limbs or anything like that. Spoken by one who is about 10% down when it comes to fingers. I'm missing a finger on my right ring finger. It wasn't from fireworks, but I'm very protective of people's fingers. So be careful out there this weekend, especially if you're going to be around fireworks. Do want to say thank you today to the folks of Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you need your AC worked on or serviced, if it's not cooling very well, give them a call. They are very good. They're based here in Central Florida. They're territory is pretty much Central Florida, Merritt Island, the beaches, Cocoa, Rockledge, Port St. John. That's pretty much the extent of their territory because of other obligations that they have. But if you have an air conditioner that's giving you fits, call the folks at Creative AC Solutions and they can come and get you fixed up, whether it's a leak, a faulty capacitor, fan motor, compressor, condensing unit, air handler problems, whatever it might be. Give them a call, 321-759-3284, and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. And so once again, have a great 4th of July weekend. Do be very, very careful out there. And remember that on Sunday, the freedom that you have is the freedom to gather together. A lot of countries do not have that. A lot of countries, if you get a number of believers together, that makes you a target of the enemy. And so here in America, we are greatly blessed to be able to gather together. And let's not take that freedom for granted. If you take freedoms for granted, they have a way of disappearing. And so make sure that you make the Lord a priority and that you get together with other believers and exalt his name. So today we're going to go back to the 30th chapter of Isaiah. Do want to let you know we will not have a Sunday night service this week as we do on all of our holidays. We do not have a Sunday night service during that time. So if you were planning on attending Sunday night, make it Sunday morning at 10:30, and we will really be glad to see you there. Today we are going to begin reading in verse number 12, and we'll go on down and read through, we're not going to get through all of that. So we'll read down through probably verse number 16 to start with, and then we'll move on from there. Verse number 12 of Isaiah 30 says this: "Therefore thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And he shall break it like the breaking of the potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces. He shall not spare. So there shall not be found among its fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth or to take water from the cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not, and you said, no, for we will flee on horses, therefore you shall flee. And we will ride on swift horses, therefore those who pursue you shall be swift." And so that's where we're going to stop for just a moment. So On yesterday's program, we had concluded by listing out that the generation of people that were being spoken to by God, who had broken his covenant, the last couple of characteristics we talked about was that they despised the word of God, they trusted in their ability to oppress, and they trusted in their perversity, and they relied on them. Let me take just a moment and say this. I believe that Christians ought to be people that others can depend on. In all actuality, it should be no mystery as to whether or not you're going to be in the house of God on a regular basis or not. There shouldn't be any question as to whether or not you're going to come home and spend the night with your family. Those sorts of things should not be points of uncertainty. I mean, if you're on a business trip or out of town, something like that, things like that are you know, exceptions to the rule. But for the most part, people ought to be able to count on you. They ought to know that you're going to be able, that you're going to be showing up for work. They ought to know that you're going to be paying your bills. They ought to be able to rely on you. This group of people were relying and trusting not in godly attributes, but in ungodly attributes. And it goes on and it says, therefore, this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And it goes on to describe that the breaking was not only going to be instantaneous, it was not only going to be catastrophic, but it was going to be completely destructive. That the breaking of this society was going to render everything useless, and it was going to be a suddenly moment. I am so thankful that God is a suddenly God, that he can do things quickly, and things can look like they're going to last forever, and all of a sudden God acts, and bam, those things are gone and replaced. Ungodliness is swept out of the way. One of the concepts about this iniquity here is that this is a different word than we will find in Isaiah 32 a little bit later. This word involves punishment. This despising the word, trusting on oppression and perversity and relying on them, that there's punishment that comes along with that. There is consequences that those actions bring about. And so you and I, we do not want to live with the consequences of living an ungodly life. Verse 15, God says, "For thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel." I made this statement a few years ago on the radio program, and it really stuck with me. I don't know if it stuck with anybody else. But the statement that I made was this: not all voices are created equal. Not all voices are created equal. And what I mean by that is that when God speaks, his voice is not compared with all of the other voices. When God speaks, his voice isn't compared with my voice. His is incomparably greater. His voice is true. His voice is authoritative. His voice is experienced. And his voice should prevail. His voice is greater than a politician. His voice is greater than a celebrity's voice. And too many times in our day and time right now, we're trying to demote God's voice, elevate others' voices, and give them an equal platform. And not all voices are created equal. Everybody has an opinion, but God has truth. Everybody wants to be outspoken, but God has authority. His experience there is no comparison that can be made. So when God speaks, pay attention. Pay attention to what he has to say. When you read the Word of God, pay attention to the Word of God. And so we begin to see some of the things that can happen to a devastated community once God brings them to a place of humiliation, if you will, to the point that they're willing to repent and get right with God. And he says this, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and they heard God's voice and they heard that God was coming for them, and instead of returning to God, they hid from God. Well, we still carry that ungodly inclination that when we are in the wrong, that we don't necessarily lean into God. We tend to try and hide from God, as if that is even possible. God's omnipresent and he knows everything. So it doesn't do us any good to run away from God. David said, no matter where I go in all of creation, even if I made my bed in hell, your presence is going to be there. I mean, I'm not going to be able to get away from you. And the good news about that, now we talked about how some people are trying to run away, is that if you've got an unsaved loved one or a prodigal in your family, and that might be a prodigal spouse, it might be a prodigal child, prodigal parent, no matter who it is that's running, you know that God is still able to reach them with his outstretched arm. So that's great news. But he says that we have got to return to him. You know, one of the questions that I like to ask whenever somebody says, well, I'm not hearing from God. One of the things that I like to ask is, well, what was the last thing that you heard from God? And how did you respond to that? Did you do what you were supposed to do? And so if behavior has led you astray, if you've been ensnared by the enemy or you've been blinded to the consequences of your actions, I want to encourage you, do not give God the silent treatment. Do not stay away from him, but return to him. Because returning is very akin to the concept of repentance. Repentance is not just turning around. Repentance is reversing course and going back the way that you came from. And so you return here, and it says, in returning, you shall be saved. It also adds this, in returning and rest. In returning and rest. I can't tell you how many times through the decades that I have had someone say, well, you know, once I get through this situation, I'm going to get myself cleaned up, and then I'm going to come back to God. When I was a kid, I remembered hearing people say, well, you know, I don't have anything to wear to church, you know. And, you know, there were some people back in those days that were kind of into the fashion wars, you know. Can I be, you know, dressed better than anybody else there? And I believe that you should look your best, but I don't believe that not having something should be used as an excuse for keeping you out of God's house. I believe if the best thing that you have to wear is a burlap sack, wear the burlap sack and watch God provide greater things. We want to put the emphasis on us, but we rest in Jesus for our salvation. The Sabbath means a day of rest. It is God's gift to us. So, back to this cleaned up concept a couple of weeks ago. I was getting ready for work. My wife leaves for work a little bit before I do. She's got a longer journey to make. And as she was getting ready to make that trip, she opened the door and took a step and realized that there had been a very unpleasant deposit by one of the neighborhood animals that they dumped on our front porch. And she was not happy about it. And fortunately, she didn't step in it or anything like that. But I said, don't worry about it. I'll clean it up. And I went out there, and it was worse than what I thought it was. But I got it cleaned up. I got it hosed off. And then I went to church. And someone had decided to bless us at church with dumping their garbage, you know, in and around our dumpster. And it's like, bless their heart. And I mean, it was, they just throw it on the ground. And so it's not even, you know, deep into the morning yet. And I've already had to deal with two people who dumped where they shouldn't have dumped. And as I was dealing with that second one, and having to clean up somebody else's mess, I just felt like God spoke to me and said, and when you come into my presence today, I will clean you up from all of your mess, and then I will dump all of heaven's blessings on top of you. And that one promise was more than enough to compensate for dealing with the other unpleasantries that I had had to deal with that morning. And so God is able to clean us up. Today, I want you to learn to rest in Him. Now, for many people, if I told them that God commands that we do this or do that or do this other thing over here, as long as activity was required, many people would say, well, I can do that. You know, God will give me strength and I'll be able to accomplish that. And I know that people think that because I've been that way for a lot of my life. But I believe it was 2020, it might have been 2019, when God began to speak to me and He said, my command to rest is just as important as far as obedience goes than any of my commandments for activity. And so I have really, my wife and I both, we have both been convicted about this. And so we have returned, if you will, to a much earlier mindset that we had that said, we are going to rest when God tells us to rest. The Bible talks about that there is a spiritual rest that is available for God's people. If you turn to the book of Hebrews, it says in chapter 3, verse number, let's see where the verse is. Actually, let's go to chapter 4. Therefore, verse number 1, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as He said, So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place, and on the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So here was the statement that God used to convince me about this rest. And I know I'm not the only preacher that has fallen susceptible to this, because I've heard two other preachers that talked about, one of them experienced the consequences. I guess both of them described the consequences that they experienced physiologically from not honoring the Lord by resting their bodies. And so here was the truth that God used to bring me back into line with where I was supposed to be when it comes to rest. He said, do you believe in tithing? I said, yes. He said, so do you believe that the 90% that you get to operate with after you honor me with my 10%, do you believe that I bless that to make that go further? And I said, absolutely. And he said, if you will honor me by resting, I will bless the rest of the time that you are productive to where you will function in my strength and my wisdom and my provision, and you will be more effective during that time than you would if you worked 100% of the time. When I first came to Brevard County, I was just a person attending. I happened to be a licensed minister at the time, but I was just attending a church, and I got plugged in. I was helping usher, and then after a month I was leading the ushers, and then after about 5 months I was the youth pastor, because the youth pastor went and started a church, and now pastors in another church. So I was there, and we were traveling as a group to a boys ministry event, and they had been given an assignment that they were supposed to present at this boys event of an illustrated sermon type thing. And it was supposed to be kind of medieval and things like that. And we discussed on the way up there about the importance of taking time to sharpen your axe. That, you know, there was a story I heard about a guy that went out in the first day that he was chopping down trees in the as a lumberjack. He chopped down a lot of trees, and everybody was really impressed. And he said, well, if you thought that was good, wait till you see tomorrow. And he got up earlier, and he worked longer, and he cut down fewer trees. And he said, man, I'm going to have to give it my all. And the next day, and was even less productive that day, and a number of days went by. And finally, an experienced lumberjack came by and said, how long has it been since you sharpened your axe? And no one had ever taught him that you needed to sharpen your axe. When we rest, when we return to God, he makes us better than we ever would have been before. And so he says, first of all, I want you to know that in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence, shall be your strength. We think that the squeaky wheel gets the grease, but God understands how important for it is for us to know, to be still and know that He is God. So a lot of times a person isn't speaking, not because they don't have anything to say, but because God has told them this is a time to listen and not to speak. I will tell you, because I spend so much of my time here on the radio and speaking at church, that when I get to go away and I get to listen, it is a major blessing in my life. And so four things, four elements are extremely important. There is returning to God. There is resting in God. There is letting Him speak. I think that that would be a great lesson for a lot of us in our prayer times, is that God knows what we have need of. He wants us to ask. He wants us to present. But we don't have to go into, God, they were wearing a floral shirt, you know, the button was kind of crooked, the collar was all. We don't need to go into all of that detail. God already knows all of that. He knows what we have need of before we even ask. And so we can say, God, here is my need. I'm casting my care upon You, because You care for me and You know everything that I have need. And so, God, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to listen for what You have to say in this very important situation. You know, I think we would make a lot of decisions differently if we would simply zip our lips from time to time and open our ears to hear. And I know that for some of us that is not easy to do, but I will tell you, there have been times when God said, look, I don't want you saying a word. I just want you walking with this person through this valley, and you are both going to emerge victorious. And when that was the case, and I did what God told me to do, against all of my instincts and all of my inclinations, I said, God, if that's what You want, that's what I'm going to do. It got the results that God wanted all along. So you all have a wonderful Independence Day. Celebrate safely. We do hope to see you at church. If we don't see you there, we will see you here first thing Monday morning on the Refresh.
Thank you
radio
for
program.
Tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.